A very simple question for us this morning. How is your love life? Are you in love? You can't be a Christian for very long, can you, before you realize that love is at the very heart of our faith and the way we live our lives. One of the first verses we learn in the scriptures is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the very heart of our faith. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says the greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And we already reminded ourselves, haven't we, that he gave us another commandment. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And it's the very mark of a Christian, isn't it? This is how we're going to be known as Christians, by our love. And Jesus even said, love your enemies. It's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Love your enemies. So love is really at the very heart of everything that we believe and the way we live out our lives. And the world is sadly lacking in love, isn't it? I don't know whether you saw the report that came out early this week on the state of the nation's mental health and how people are finding it difficult to make meaningful relationships. People are feeling more and more lonely and detached from other people. The world is crying out for love. There was a very famous experiment that was carried out in a hospital psychiatry some years ago, people with psychological problems. One of the doctors there got an idea that really what they were lacking is love. And he called all of his staff together and he said to them, I want you to try something out from now on. I want you to be sure that every single contact you have with the patients in this hospital, and he was talking to medical staff, maintenance staff, household staff, everybody. He said, even if you're going to just change a light bulb in their room, I want every single contact with every patient to be seen to be one of love. I want the patients to realize every time you make contact with them that it's a contact of love. And so they did that. And they found that within 6 months, half of the inmates required no longer hospitalization. The world is crying out for love. And this was just ordinary human love. Now, really what I want to talk about today is something rather special and a little bit more than just human love. Coming up. Yes. Not just human love, but Christian love. And I hope we're going to see that Christian love is something very much more, something very much deeper than just ordinary human love. There's a whole new dimension to it, and that's the dimension I really want us to get into today. And I want to take as our theme verse today this verse from 1 John 4. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. What a profound statement that is. But let's look at the context of it. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. That's the context. This is where the verse comes in. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. He's talking here about something very, very deep and central to our Christian experience. And so I come back to my question: how is your love life? Are we in love? I suppose if we just look at the whole range of people that we have contact with during our lives, we could probably separate them out into two groups. One group we would say, well, they're people whom I have no difficulty loving. They're lovable people, you know, people like us. They're nice people, so it's no problem loving them. But there would almost certainly be another group of people for whom we would say, well, they're difficult people, difficult. If you haven't got any difficult people in your life, well, God bless you, you're doing well. But for most of us, there are difficult people. Now, what do we do about them? Well, just suppose you knew you were going to meet one of these difficult people. What do we do? Well, we know we've no option but to love them. That's so clear, isn't it? We've had this command. We've got to love one another. We must love them. So how do we do that? Well, you come across this person, and naturally, there's no love there. You find they're rather maybe obnoxious or difficult. Well, they're difficult people. Difficult to love. So what do we do? Well, people make different suggestions, don't they? Some people would say, well, there's a bit of good in everybody, so look for that little bit of good in him and love him for that. Other people come up with the idea, well, think of him as a baby. Nobody hates a baby, do they? He was a baby once, wasn't he? Well, that's true, but trouble is, babies don't stay babies, do they? And even babies are not uniformly lovable, are they, every moment of every day? So that's a bit difficult, that one, isn't it? Or some people would say, well, love is not to do with feelings, it's to do with actions. So bake them a cake or go and mow his lawn or something. Wash his car for him. That's an act of love, isn't it? Well, that's all right, but we're trying to get at something much more fundamental than that. Let's ask ourselves, what is the basic problem with that difficult person? Why do I find it difficult to love him? Why can't I just love him? Why not? Well, I'm just not made that way, I'm afraid. What actually goes on in our hearts when we meet with the difficult person? Well, lots of different things can happen. Maybe that person is someone who at some time has done us an injury, maybe insulted us, done us some kind of harm, done us something to us which we've really objected to, and when we have to meet with them, all that comes out, doesn't we? There's a kind of resentment in us. We think back to what he did and we resent him for it, and we have all these negative feelings towards this person. Now, why do we have those negative feelings? Why can't we just love him? Well, we have those negative feelings because they are things which are deeply impressed right down deep in our nature. It's what we call our old sinful nature. And if we look into it, we've all got it. We'll find that deep within us there are resentments, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness. It's all there. That's our old nature. And when we meet with difficult people, they stir up that old nature in us. And so we have all these negative feelings and we find it very difficult to love them. That's the truth of the matter. Now, what do we do about that? Well, we could say, well, we've just got to work at it. We've really got to try and love them. We'll use all these techniques. We'll bake them cakes. We'll wash their cars. We'll think of them as babies. We'll do all those things, and we'll try and get over it. And we'll try to love them. The question I want to put to you this morning is this. If we do that, are we not simply trying to reform our old sinful nature? Trying to improve on our old sinful nature? Because if we are, we will find it very hard work and we will make very little progress. And the reason is simply that the answer to our old sinful nature is not reformation, it's crucifixion. Now, that is not just a clever soundbite that preachers can bring out from time to time. There's a reality to this which we need to understand, we need to come to terms with in our life. We need to understand what it is to have the old nature crucified. I don't need to crucify my old nature. It's already been done. That's what Jesus did on the cross. So how do I come to terms with it? How do I understand it in practical terms in my everyday life? Just think of Saul of Tarsus. He was a cruel, brutal man, wasn't he? Until he met with Jesus on that road to Damascus. We all know the story. Now, what happened after that? Did he start saying to himself, right now, I've got to try being a bit less cruel, a bit less brutal, a bit less murderous. I've really got to try and work on this old nature of mine. No. He described it very precisely in one of his letters later on. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, how do we actually experience that? Because this is the only way we'll come to know this very deep kind of love that John is talking about in that reading. I can't crucify my old nature. I don't need to. It's already been done. But there's something I have to do when I feel all these things rising in me in response to the difficult person that I've met. What do I have to do? Well, just look at how Paul put it in another one of his letters. He said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what he's saying is, look, your old nature is crucified. That's been done. Now all we have to do is to put it off and put on the new nature. Because it's in this new nature that which the Spirit dwells, and it's in this new nature that we will be able to love in the kind of way that John describes. So it's all to do with this putting off and putting on. This is what we need to get to grips with. This is what we need to understand in our everyday life. How do I, when I'm meeting with somebody and I'm getting all these negative reactions, how do I recognize that as my old nature and put it off and put on the new nature in which the Holy Spirit dwells and I can love with the love of God? How do I do that? It's all very well to talk about it, isn't it, in theory, but how do we actually do it in practice? I would like to make one or two suggestions. How do we put off and put on? It's this process, isn't it, we need to understand. Well, the first thing we've got to get to grips with is we must believe that the old has been crucified and that we do have this new nature in which the Spirit dwells. Just this simple act of believing is the key. When Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. He said, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The key to understanding this, putting on and putting off and actually experiencing it, is to believe that old nature of mine, which comes to the fore so often, has been crucified. Believe that. And believe that I have a new nature in which the Spirit dwells. If I just believe those things, that is the key to actually experiencing them. I read the story of a man recently who had become rather estranged from his daughter. And he found one day that he had to go and visit the town which he knew she was living in as a student. And as he was thinking about his daughter, some words came into his mind. Master, grant that I may never seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. He couldn't quite remember where those words came from. He only discovered later that they were words at which he had read many years previously when he was studying the life of St. Francis. But the Holy Spirit had chosen that particular moment to bring them to mind, and he thought, yes, something's gone wrong between me and my daughter, and I must try and meet up with her. So he phoned her up and said he was going to spend a couple of hours in this town. He'd be free. Could they meet up together? And the daughter agreed to this. And later on he discovered that when she put down the phone, she said to her flatmate, how on earth am I going to spend a couple of hours with my dad? But they met up and they went and had lunch together. And then had to decide what they were going to do with the rest of the afternoon, and so she said to him, well, look, I need to do a bit of shopping. Would that be all right if we went shopping together? Well, when he heard about that, that was the very last thing that he felt like doing. He really reacted to the idea of wandering around shops that would appeal to a teenage girl. But those words came to his mind again. He thought, yeah, that's my old nature. That's me seeking to be loved rather than to love. And so he said, yeah, I would love to go shopping with you. Now, the key thing is this. He was not lying when he said that. He had recognized that those negative feelings he was having towards going shopping with his daughter were part of his old nature. And he was able simply to take that off and put on the new nature in which the Spirit dwells. And he was now listening to the Holy Spirit when he said, I would love to come shopping with you. He wasn't lying. He just stepped out of his old nature into his new nature. And they went shopping together. And he found that he was able to start taking an interest in the latest fashion in shoes for young girls. He was even able to sit back and admire the pair of shoes that she was thinking of buying. And so the afternoon went on. It was the beginning of a transformation in their relationship. And at the end of the afternoon, she said, Dad, can we do this again sometime? But you see the point. The point was this. Believing that our own nature has been crucified. We don't need to be dominated by it anymore. And if we find it's coming out again when we meet a difficult person, just step out of it. It's been dealt with. We don't have to crucify it. It's been done. All we have to do is to put it off and put on the new nature. And just simply believing that those things are possible makes them come about. It's almost like a voyage of discovery since I've been thinking around these things. I've been trying to apply this principle to lots of different areas of life. Just believing these things makes them happen, makes them possible. It's not a kind of brainwashing. This is faith in action. This is living by faith. Don't feel much like praying this morning, Lord. It's a bit tedious, and I just got other things I want to think about, and I'm a bit tired anyway. Hang on, that's my old nature talking. That's the old enemy stirring up my old nature. But that's been dealt with. Step out of it. I'm going to step into my new nature, in which the Spirit dwells, and he's telling me that he wants to help me with my praying, and my praying changes. oh, I'm just, it's, it really is like a voyage of discovery. I'm trying to see so many different areas of life now where you can apply this principle. Just believe. Believe. Everything is possible to him who believes. And in this question of love, that is also true. Now, if we've find we're trying this kind of thing out and finding that it's succeeding, maybe it would encourage us to test its reality. And the scripture gives us a number of tests. What about confidence on the day of judgment? It's curious that this occurred in our reading. If you remember, just look back at our reading. It said, God is love. This is our key verse. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Why does he bring out this whole business of the day of judgment in relation to love? Well, what he's saying is this, that there is going to come a day of judgment. That's absolutely sure. And every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, fast forward. See ourselves in that position. Can we stand there with confidence, or is there fear? He's going to see all the things I've done. Am I going to be condemned? Am I going to be judged for this? If there's fear there, we haven't made it. We're not living in that perfect love that he's talking about. Perfect love casts out fear. If I've got this deep, loving relationship with God and I'm living in it by faith, there'll be no fear on that day of judgment. I can fast forward, know it's going to happen, and be absolutely confident there. There's another test we can do. It's the test of obedience. In the words of Jesus again, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Absolute test. Can we come before the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything you're telling me to do? Am I ready to be obedient? That's the test of love. Obedience. Confidence on the day of judgment. Obedience. And then there's love of the world. Very specific test John gives us. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's absolute certainty. We're missing it if we love the world. How do we know whether we're loving the world or not? Well, it's not all that easy. But I think we mainly know, if we get very, very interested in something, just how much of a priority it is in our life. We will know if we're putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Does it come first for us? Is that our priority? Or do we have to say, well, no, this thing is much more important to me than the things of God? Because if that is true, then we're missing it again. We haven't got it. So, love of the world. And then just one final thing we might say. We should all be aiming to come to a position of abiding in a continuous awareness of God's unconditional love for us. Only from this position can we be a channel of love to others. Jesus said, abide in my love. Make it be a continuous thing with you. And it's only then that we'll be able to say, yeah, I can pass on this love to others. It's going to flow through me to others. It's only when we're in this position of abiding love. And the key to it all, let me emphasize again, is believing. Believe that the old nature has been crucified. That's what gives rise to all of our troubles. It's been crucified. It's been dealt with. But we still need to step out of it and step into this new life in which the Spirit dwells. And I emphasize again, if you want to apply this principle to other aspects of life, it applies right across the board. You find there's so many different things in life. If you just believe the right things, you'll find they become true in your life. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we have pondered your love. We know that we love because you first loved us. Help us, Lord, just to be overwhelmed by that love as we were singing earlier, and let it just flow through us to other people. Help us, Lord, to know how to approach people this week who we perhaps would have classed as difficult people. But Lord, help us to be so living in that new life, that new self in which the Spirit dwells, and following his promptings, that we can shed abroad, shed your life, your love to them. So Lord, help us to know this new way of loving, indeed this new way of living, which all arises because we know that your Spirit dwells in us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's make this song the prayer of our heart as we close our service this morning.